Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Thursday, everybody. Great to be with you. Kind of a fun show today. Let's start out with the trades, obviously, where I'm not sure how either Pennsylvania team did. I don't know about you. I think the Phillies trade with Cole Hamels is okay, but no better than that. Obviously, we'll find out in 3 years. But the Rangers won in so many ways in this. It's amazing. They get Cole Hamels, and they didn't have to give up their top outfield prospects to do it. Really? The catcher, yeah. The catcher is obviously a really, really good prospect. I understand that. But you also had a really good prospect in Sebastian Valle. You let him get away. He's in Altoona right now, which means he's not in Redding. But this trade is no better than okay. The catching prospect, he is a good prospect. I completely am on board with that. And that part I understand completely. But I'm struggling with what I'm seeing in the rest of this deal when it comes to the Phillies. I don't understand how they don't trade Cole Hamels and don't get the catcher and get one of the top outfield prospects. I don't get that. John Daniels did not have to give up some heavy looks here to get this done. And that's the part that really takes me aback. Again, the catcher is really good. And the Phillies did get multiple players in the deal. I don't understand how the Phillies didn't get the top outfield prospect, too. Especially when you consider Hamels has increased value over David Price for a team like the Rangers. Because the Rangers, yeah, they might be in it this year, but this was really a deal made to combine him with Yu Darvish down the road. It's not like the Rangers are that far out. Everybody's in it. I mean, they're only four games out of the second wild card spot. It does make the Phillies farm system better. I don't think there's any question about that. The trade does make the Phillies farm system better. The catcher is really, I think, has a lot to him that I think Philly fans, I think, can get excited about. Eventually seeing him in there, I think he's the number five prospect overall in this. And so that one there is, obviously, he's the key, he's the centerpiece of this whole thing. That's fine. And Jorge Alfaro and Nick Williams. And then they also gave up pitcher Matt Harrison. But Nomar Mazara and Joey Gallo weren't in the trade. They have Nomar Mazara and Joey Gallo, and neither one is in this deal. I don't expect you to get both. No way. No way. You could go after Matt Harrison, Jorge Alfaro, and either Gallo or Mazzara. Now, whoa. But these are the top two slugging prospects that they have in their organization, and the Phillies got neither one of them. And that's the part that... Now, might they have been deal breakers? I don't know. But all I know is the Phillies didn't get them. Now, the catching prospect really, I mean, is a great prospect. There's no question about that. No question. And but neither Mazzara or Gallo were in the trade. That's why you sit back and say, oh, you got it. Now, I don't know if the names came up and they were deal breakers. Who knows? Who knows? Harrison's a 29-year-old left-hander that they get. That's fine. Who has started three games. And, you know, I mean, here's a guy who's had 135 starts in his career. You know, 4.21 ERA, 6.75 this year. Okay. That's whatever. That's a filler very much like Jake Diekman's a filler in this trade for Texas as well. I mean, they're both fillers in the trade. That's all they are. It really comes down to what prospects they end up getting. The catcher, Alfaro, Nick Williams, okay. But they didn't have to give up their one of the top two outfield prospects they have in this trade. Really? Well, the salary's off the books. They did increase the depth of their farm system with Williams and Alfaro both now being a part of it. That does make the Phillies farm system better. There's no question about that. So, I mean, they did accomplish that. Harrison doesn't accomplish anything for them. He's like Diekman. He's just a filler in the trade. But now here's the next part. David Price today went to Toronto. Now, I have no idea at all whether the Pirates even called Detroit. No idea. Zero. But you know what? Price is a perfect rent-a-player. Perfect rent-a-player. And I always laugh almost out loud now when I hear any Pirate fan say to me, well, you know, I mean, our prospects. I mean, prospects what? Anytime you continue to build for the future, you have no present. In the last 15 years, ten championships have been won by four teams. In the last 15 years, 10 championships have been won by four teams. The Giants three times, the Red Sox three times, the Cardinals twice, and the Yankees twice. From 2000 to 2014, 10 of the 15 championships won by a whopping four teams. When you have a chance to go for it, you go for it. Tell me which prospects they're going to bring up and make a difference. If the Pirate farm system is so rich in awesome and incredible blow-me-away talent, why is it when Josh Harrison got hurt, they didn't replace him with a farm system guy to start? Why is it when Jordy Mercer got hurt, they didn't replace him with a farm system guy? Why is it with Pedro Alvarez struggling so much at first base, they didn't dip into their rich minor league and bring up a prospect and play him? Mm-hmm. If they're really that good, then why aren't they with the big club when they need them? I can understand keeping them down there while you get your veterans playing well and you're trying to give them more seasoning and so forth. Yeah, absolutely acceptable. But there has to be a point where you look at your farm system and say, now we need you. When even you don't think your farm guys are good enough to help you right now, that means they're good enough to be dealt to somebody else for a David Price who will help you right now. Toronto did that today. As for the Phillies, look, they, you know, the Phillies got Alfaro, Williams, Asher, Eichhoff, Thompson, and Harrison. Just throw Harrison out, it doesn't really matter. He's just a current filler at the age of 29. Alfaro has all the tools. Awesome arm, good power. The only thing about Alfaro is this, just so you know. Alfaro is a free swinger at the plate, not disciplined as a hitter, but he is a free swinger at the plate. And catchers do take more time to develop. Jake Thompson? Jake Thompson could be a good major league pitcher. Jake Thompson has a solid fastball, but his big pitch is his slider. So just so you know that. Thompson brings to the plate a really good slider and a fastball. The fastball is not a plus fastball that he's going to be able to, in a key situation, go to and get somebody out. It's going to be the slider that he goes to. That's his out pitch. But he has a chance to be a starter down the road, and he has some pretty good tools. So that's Jake Thompson. You want to know about Nick Williams? Well, he's hitting 300 in the Texas League right now, which is Double-A. And he's still just a kid, and he's already played in the Futures game. He did so last year. And he's an outfielder. And I think Williams is only 20 years old. I think he's only 20 or 21. And Eichhoff and Asher are two guys that in all likelihood could be fourth or fifth starters at best, or could be guys that fill key spots in the bullpen down the road in the pen. They'll be no better than fourth or fifth starters, Eichhoff and Asher. So one of the two could be a fourth or fifth starter. The other one could be a bullpen guy. They both could be bullpen guys. But that's where they are. They definitely increase their depth in the system by doing this. And the two keys are Alfaro and Thompson. Williams to a point. But Alfaro is the critical piece. Pitching-wise, Thompson's the critical piece. And Thompson, by the way, I think has a chance to be a team's number two or three starter. But again, his out pitch is the slider. The fastball is solid. The fastball for Thompson is considered by scouts to be solid. But it's not a plus fastball. The out pitch is the slider. Williams is young, currently a 300 hitter. He's probably 2 years away from making the big club. Alfaro, good arm behind the plate. Good hitter, has some power, but a free swinger. I hope that helps all of you. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Oh, parts. Every time I hear this song, I get the shakes. The whole group of us went out and they started playing this, and Kevin started dancing, and I can't get it out of my mind.
Well, it's in honor of Kevin's birthday today. That's why he's not in today.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of reasons. All right. So We're going to have Lou Prado on today. And, by the way, Joey Bosa and Jalen Marshall, Dontre Wilson, and Corey Smith all suspended for the opening game against Virginia Tech by Urban Meyer. It is said to be a combination of academics and marijuana. Now, who is the marijuana? Who is the academics? Who's the combination of both? Whatever. I don't know what combinations go where. But Joey Bosa, Dontre Wilson, Jalen Marshall, and Corey Smith all out of the opening game. Marshall and Wilson, by the way, play H-back. I'm trying to think. Did they move anybody to H-back recently? Oh, that's right. Braxton Miller. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the slice of irony of the day. As you know, like everybody, you know, everybody's almost exhausted everything when it comes to the Tom Brady thing. And by the way, Brady is going to, you know, the road to him having this suspension taken off the books got more difficult today because the court in Minnesota, which is normally player friendly, is not going to take the case. They say the Manhattan court should be the one that takes care of that. Well, the Manhattan court is far more favorable toward the league. And I'm just telling you. And by the way, all the stuff about the phone and the footballs, all the, it doesn't matter. It's all off the board. It has no factor in here at all. Zero, zip, zilch. You got to wipe that off the boards now. The entire appeal on the court level is all going to be based on the NFL process as to how they got here. It has nothing to do with footballs, pins, needles, phones, any of that stuff. That's what it has to do with. Here's the slice of irony for the day, ladies and gentlemen. Remember that the Patriots have a bye week. Take the music down for 1 second there, okay? Kyle? Can you take the music down for a second? All right. Okay, here's the Patriots have a bye week, which means it's the fifth week of the season. Okay? Tom Brady will not be able to play in the game. That would be game four for the Patriots. But it's game five for the Cowboys, and Greg Hardy can play. He had his suspension reduced from 10 to 4. So one guy's out because of a pin put in the football. The other guy gets to play in the game because he had his suspension reduced from 10 to 4 games. And exactly what did he do? Lou Prado next half hour.
Where Mount Pleasant Mills, Dornsife, and Treverton turn first for news. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Notifications to victims of sexually violent predators improved. Plus, AccuWeather says tonight cooler and less humid with a moonlit sky. Good afternoon, I'm Matt Cotrillo, WKOK News. Protections have improved for the victims of sexually violent predators. The organization Transitions, which operates a family protection agency and shelter based in Lewisburg, is saying some laws have been strengthened. Susan Mathias, CEO of Transitions, says a new partnership will help ensure all victims receive timely notifications when a sexually violent predator is identified by the courts. This comes after the Adam Walsh Child Protection and Safety Act, which was signed into law in 2011. The law makes state police responsible to notify victims when a sexually violent predator registers with the Megan's Law Unit and when the offender changes his or her address or place of employment. Mathias says this was an important improvement to the law. In the mood for some brewbecue and live music? Try a Lewisburg weekend. The second annual Lewisburg Brewbecue is Saturday, August 8th from 1 to 5 p.m. The event will feature barbecue, shopping, and music events. Executive Director of Lewisburg Downtown Partnership Linda Sterling has more details.
The downtown stores will be offering sidewalk sales that day. We have the beer garden from 1 to 5 with 14 beer and wine vendors. We have a lot of volunteered beers that are really exciting, affectionately known as the Beer Boys.
Tickets cost $35 in advance and $40 the day of the event. For more information, go to www.lewisburgpa.com. AccuWeather says tonight cooler and less humid with a moonlit sky, low of 60. Tomorrow less humid with plenty of sunshine, high of 86. Tomorrow night partly cloudy, low 62. And Saturday sun and some clouds, high of 85. For the latest news all the time, go to WKOK.com. I'm Matt Catrillo, WKOK News.
Your wild is waiting at PennsWilds.com. Discover Pennsylvania's great outdoors through writing that is sometimes serious, sometimes humorous, and always informative. There's Outdoors PA features with the Pennsylvania Game Commission on hunting, trapping, wildlife, and much more. Learn something new that will help with your next hunt. It's brought to you by Ram Trucks. Visit PennsWilds.com, click on the Ram banner, and find your deal on our rugged new 2015 Ram 1500. Explore the wilds of Pennsylvania at PennsWilds.com.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
News Radio 1070 WKOK wants you to know about the people and organizations that help make the Susquehanna Valley a better place to live.
Hello, Central PA. On behalf of the Hummel's Wharf Fire Company, we would like to invite you to our second annual charity poker ride on August 22nd. Proceeds benefit Camp Emerge and the Strikers Bowling Team. Registration starts at 9 a.m. day of event, but pre-registration is highly recommended at the Wharf. Entertainment starts at 5 p.m. with Brandon Barnhart, Counterfeit Dreams, 86, and PA Crew. Visit Hummel's Wharf Fire Company on Facebook for more information.
The Dave Ramsey Show, where common sense meets dollars and cents.
Average household income in America today is $50,000. If you save 15% of that, that's $7,500 a year. In your 401k with no match, into Roth IRAs, into good growth stock mutual funds, you would retire with around $7.5 million. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's say I'm half wrong. So you end up with $3 million. Shut up!
The Dave Ramsey Show, weekdays at 1 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK App. News Radio 1070 WKOK wants you to know about the people and organizations that help make the Susquehanna Valley a better place to live.
Sunbury River Festival kicks off Thursday, August 13th at 7 p.m. with the Valley's Got Talent at the Shikellamy High School. Then Friday, August 14th from noon till 11 p.m. enjoy over 100 food and craft vendors and free live entertainment at 8. Saturday, August 15th from 9 till 6 enjoy food vendors, crafters, train rides, a petting zoo, the cardboard boat regatta, and more. Live entertainment with Sunbury Motor Company after hours begins at 6.
Designer Homes of Mifflinburg wants to remind those thinking about building a home that they carry over 300 different floor plans, which can be customized to fit your individual needs and lifestyle. From initial concept to your moving-in day, you'll get one-on-one attention. Our team of highly qualified experts are here to make your home dreams come true. So whether you're a first-time home builder or a seasoned pro, you can trust Designer Homes. Stop by and visit our model homes on 8th Street in Mifflinburg or at designerhomesofpa.com. Designer Homes, your place to call home.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence from WKOK Sunrise on Friday morning. Dr. Walter Brash, the Emeritus Professor of Journalism from Bloomsburg University, will talk about the Boy Scouts of America's big partial decision this week and the dentist who killed Cecil the Lion. Then movie Mike McGranahan comes in. He'll have his review of Pixels, talk about new movies that are out, Michael Moore's latest project, and putting metal detectors at theaters. It is WKOK Sunrise, 6 to 8:30 on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Roads 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. In the after show, we'll be taking your calls wishing Kevin happy birthday. We think it's the right spot. Coming up tomorrow, Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror from Big Ten Media Day. News made today with Joey Bosa, Dontre Wilson, Jalen Marshall, and Corey Smith being suspended for the opener at Virginia Tech by Urban Meyer. Combination, and we don't know which one fits which, but they say it's a combination of, Ohio State hasn't said this, but reports have said it's a combination of academics and marijuana. Now, who fits into what category, we don't know. Also, players to watch for the upcoming season. You had to pick five in each division. It turned out there was a tie in the West. In the East, one Penn State player made it among the five. That was Anthony Zettel. So we get you up to date on all the news. David Price traded to the Toronto Blue Jays today. Phillies, you look at the trade, rate the trade to be a good trade. It could have been a great trade if they'd been able to get one of the two outfield prospects, power prospects from Texas, but did not. They got a good outfield prospect. They got a really, really good catching prospect and a very good starting pitching prospect who could be a two or a three in the rotation down the road for Cole Hamels. And Toronto got David Price to now couple that with Troy Tulowitzki. Blue Jays are going for it. So are the Kansas City Royals. The Pirates made a big move. They got Joe Blanton. Okay. And on Kevin's birthday, I have to bring this up. You'll love this, Kyle. Athletes competing in next year's Summer Games in Rio will be swimming and boating in waters so contaminated with human feces that they risk becoming violently ill and unable to compete in the games, according to an Associated Press investigation. An AP analysis of water quality revealed dangerously high levels of viruses and bacteria from human sewage in Olympic and Paralympic venues, results that alarmed international experts and dismayed competitors training in Rio, some of whom have already fallen ill with fevers, vomiting, and diarrhea. In the first independent, comprehensive testing for both viruses and bacteria at the Olympic sites, Brazilian officials have now assured that the water will be safe for the Olympic athletes. But the government does not test for viruses. Extreme water pollution is common in Brazil, where the majority of sewage is not treated. Raw waste runs through open-air ditches to streams and rivers that feed the Olympic water sites. As a result, athletes are almost certain to come in contact with disease-causing viruses. Then in some tests measured up to 1.7 million times the level of what would be considered hazardous at a Southern California beach. Love the Olympic movement, don't you?
It sounds delightful.
Let's fleece the city and then take it someplace where it's really bad. All right. With that, here in the Sunbury Motors studio, very pleased to bring in my old friend Lou Prado. It's great to have you back, Lou.
For inviting me again. Enjoy being here, you know.
Oh, well, you and I always enjoy just knocking around life.
Wait, we're in the car together going to Pittsburgh. We say the same thing we do here. It's like, that's like you and Jack, I guess, you know.
Exactly. And you and I are going down to the Duquesne Club right. In about a month.
About a month.
31st.
31st.
Yeah, we'll go down there and we'll sit around the table. They've actually had record numbers around the table the last couple of years, which has been fun.
One person will be missing, Tom Bradley.
Yes, I know. Well, that's because he has a job.
He has a real job.
He has a real job.
And we wish him a lot of luck at UCLA.
Absolutely. They will do well. He has a team that is primed out there with Jim Moore as the head coach to do some big things in the Pac-12 this year. Names on jerseys. Let me start with this. In an era where it seems as if organizations on the surface do what they want and expect the public to go along with it, what does it say that it seems like James Franklin listened to what people said and then did this?
I think it's a major step forward for Franklin. You know, there's question. Let's say the jury, use a cliche, is still out on Franklin. I mean, he's only been here a year.
Right. And would be with any coach.
And he walked into a buzzsaw. I mean, mm-hmm. O'Brien walked into a bigger buzzsaw at the time, and O'Brien saved the program. There's no doubt in my mind, in a lot of people's mind. In fact, that's in my book. We're going to push my book a little bit today. I'll tell you more about that, because all these stories are in my book, my new book coming out. But I guess I was a little surprised, because indications seemed to be that the players, current players, they love to have the names. I mean, that's the current players. I mean, it's amazing. It's all about, this isn't just Penn State. It's all about them more than it is in the past. Well, we've had some crazy players, too. We could talk about them, and you know, we can go, Trey Bauer was real crazy, Barry Lavecchio, you know, you go down the line to talk to some of the old timers, I'll tell you, but they're good guys. They turned out to be great guys too, but,
right.
But so putting the names back on, does, for the reasons he gave, and I think it's legit, and I think people are very supportive, that the 2012 team was different.
Mm-hmm.
They had to, if Marty and Zordich, the Michaels, the twin Michaels, led it, plus the other guys were on the team, I don't want to leave them out, McGoin and the rest of them, mm-hmm. had not did what they did and kept that team together, Fick and the rest of them. I mean, eight guys that left or 13 that left over that time, none of them really did a great job. I mean, we had, I'll lose track of names, the wide receiver that went to Oklahoma and then...
Oh, Justin Brown. Justin Brown. I mean, Red was okay.
Yeah.
Farrah was okay at Texas.
But Farrah, I even understand because he was from there and his family was there.
Yeah, there was circumstance around that.
But when you look
at linebacker.
When you look, they held together and that chemistry with O'Brien being a coach, putting the names on jerseys to honor those guys and given them that special, which Joyner was behind. I mean, he was for it. And Dave gets wrapped a lot. To put up on a scoreboard across from up in the suite area, that's there, you know, for all time as long
sure.
as it lasts, I guess. But that was special. That was, and so putting the names on at that time was right. Now, keeping them on, I felt, well, that's the way it's going to be. And, you know, I sit above the club. I'm in the end zone. I love the end zone seats because, you know, you can see everything. I watch the play develop, the old coaching type things, sports, old spotter.
Sure.
And listening to you and Jack, I made sure that I knew who was carrying the ball because I'm not sure you two guys knew what was going on. No, I'm just kidding. but down the other end of the end zone, north end zone, I mean, I could see the names. I had binoculars on and you could see the names.
Right.
So, okay, I could see the names. But I'm all in favor of this. I mean, this is what Penn State's known for. I mean, they could step out in the field. We had the scandal, okay? We have to get over the scandal, and I don't mean we're moving on. I mean the scandal's going to develop, whatever truth's going to come out, the lawsuits, and you know what side I'm on that. I'm on the, let's find the truth. Let's not just pass over this thing. But that could take years. I may be long gone. I might be in the gridiron in the sky or... the furnace down below before that happens, but
critiquing from some other location.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, somebody else will be giving an opinion to me. The saying all that is, well, I mean, Penn State uniforms have always been plain. I mean, the pink and black, I'm not going to go there right now because we know what happened with it. I mean, that's a long story. It's been around. But from that point on, the 1887 team, the uniforms were basically plain. Now, there were different uniforms throughout the 30s. People were experimenting. And the plain blue and white evolved. Joe Paterno didn't do this on his own. People go, well, it started with Joe. No, it didn't.
No, it did not.
But and the names on the jerseys, the actual names on jerseys nationwide, then start to the 60s, and we'll get to that later on. So it's not, you know, the names on jerseys is really a little bit of the last century of 50 years ago, but at the same time, 50 years before that, nobody talked about names.
No.
It was numbers that was very important, and Penn State was involved in that too.
Right, and for those who don't realize, the New York Yankees were the first ones in pro sports to put numbers on jerseys.
What year?
I'm going to say that they did it, I want to say in 23 or 24.
Well, W.J., Washington Jefferson, and Pitt did it in 1908.
1908, so in the professional, but you know how they numbered them, though. You know why Ruth is 3 and Gehrig is 4.
Probably the way they batted or
batting order.
Yeah, that would figure.
That's how the Yankee numbers came about. Batting order. The leadoff batter wore 1. Lazzari wore 2. So I guess he batted 2nd, and then Ruth batted 3rd, Gehrig batted 4th, Musel batted 5th. That's how they got the numbers.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
People think
how did they arrive at that? Oh. Now, when did Penn State first put numbers on jerseys?
Well, I had to do the research. I mean, this is where it all began. In before the scandal hit in 2011, over the summer 2011, I at this point I don't remember why I came up with this idea. But I said, well, where did they get numbers? Where did they get the names? So I started to do some research. I think it was really when I was assigned by the Blue White Illustrated to do a story about the history of uniforms
right.
way back to 1887, which I did in a story, and that really piqued my interest. So I started to do research, an additional story, and it was published in September of 2011. And it was amazing. I started doing an internet search, and you get different names of what school was first. And I finally found that Washington Jefferson seemed to be, they were a big power back then.
Yes, they were.
Seemed to be one of the first teams, but I couldn't quite nail it down. Washington J couldn't give me any the proof. So I started contacting people. I contacted Dan Jenkins, you know, he's actually the historian of the National Football Foundation, College Football Hall of Fame. Kent Stevens is the curator of the College Football Hall of Fame. And I started to get, and they seemed to think that they weren't sure. They weren't sure where the names were, weren't sure where numbers were on. In doing this, after, again, I going back to the numbers, I was doing research for names and numbers at the same time. So in doing the names thing, in doing the numbers thing, I seeing W&J and they couldn't come up with it, I contacted Ernie Brighetti, the PR guy of Pitt, and he went to the files and he couldn't find anything.
Right.
Okay, he couldn't find anything really legit. So he said, if you find anything, let me know. Well, going with what I'd found off the internet, the 1908 seemed to be the year that both W&J and Pitt had put them on.
Okay.
I contacted my fraternity brother, who's a big collector. His name is Brown. He happens to be one of the alumni trustees you've interviewed. You know Ted. Mm-hmm. He has a great collection. I asked him to look through his file. He found the 1908 Penn State football program against Pitt on Thanksgiving Day, and there they had the numbers.
Pitt did, but not Penn State.
Well, Pitt. We don't know whether Penn State wore numbers, but they did have Penn State listed on the program.
Right.
And they did that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So we still haven't proved. There's no game film from that time. But I think I went, as I say, my memory. I'd have to look at my notes here. But I think I went to the library. You know, looked at the Levee. Mm-hmm. And vaguely saw I think I saw numbers on there. I mean, there might be no pictures. I meant to check my notes here.
You check your notes all you want. That's fine.
But so the numbers started, but it didn't become fashionable until in years later.
Right.
Then it became in the 30s sometime. The exact date, the NCAA adopted it and they put numbers on to make sure they knew what the players were.
Right, and they mandated that. That way people could figure it out. As they watched, and the popularity of the game grew, so people wanted to know who, you know, which players they were watching.
The numbers of the 25, I'm going to read from this. The numbers of the Pitt 25 Pitt players are random, with left end wearing number 19 and left tackle number 24, the left guard number 3, and the center number 5. So it was just random. While Penn State numbers are listed in numerical order, left end number 1, looks like the Yankees, right. Left end, left tackle number 2, left guard number 3, etc. They had the names there. I don't have the names here. But, and included the 8 substitutes, number 12 through 20, with no number 13. So that's a little interesting sidelight. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, as I said, I looked at the Levee photo and the program, and the Levee photo did have it. And because of all this, this is the bottom line on the numbers things. Ernie Brighetti said, thanks. And I passed all this information to him, sent him a photocopy of Ted Brown's program.
Mm-hmm.
And Brighetti says, you got 2 tickets the next time Penn State plays Pitt at Pitt. 2016, here I come.
Next year, here I come.
So that's the numbers story.
Now, on names, it's interesting how rival leagues end up taking the older league and with some new ideas. The AFL actually should get credit for being the one that created the financial system that happens today. They're the ones that came up with the idea of pooling all the national TV money and distributing it evenly. And the NFL, a year later, sat back and said, that's a heck of an idea, right? And then Pete Rozelle talked to Wellington Mara because of the Giants, and Mara agreed. But they also put names in their jerseys in 1960 because being a television, they wanted people to know who their players were, so they could identify them either in the stands or on TV.
And they did it. I looked this up too. This is part of the story. They did it part as a marketing too. They wanted to sell the league. They wanted to sell the players. And
yep.
You know, they were paying. You know, they were getting players that if the league had been created, would have been big NFL stars. They turned it eventually when they right. merger. They all merged on. But I mean, that did more for football than people realize. And the Oakland owner, general manager, was behind a lot of this.
Al Davis. But Lamar Hunt was behind some of that, too.
Lamar Hunt, too, right.
Well, they had actually gone to the NFL, some of those owners, and applied to get in.
Lamar Hunt was one of them.
And the NFL said no. So the Foolish Club, as they were called, formed the AFL. And then the NFL quickly countered by forming the Dallas Cowboys, because he had the Dallas Texans, Hunt. Now they're the Kansas City Chiefs. And the AFL was originally putting a team in Minnesota, which are now the Oakland Raiders. They never played in Minnesota, but now they're the Raiders. Well, that's why the NFL put a team in Minnesota. They thought they were countering the AFL there. But with the names, colleges see this. Who's the first one to do it?
Well, this was interesting. As I said, I started to do the research, contacted Dan Jenkinson, and things seemed to point to Hawaii as being one of the first. I contacted the PR guy in Hawaii. No, we don't know anything about it. Contacted Maryland.
Which, by the way, I should point out that when they were trying to expand the Big Ten, Hawaii was my number one choice.
Too bad we didn't get...
That's a true story. Well, yeah. I was interviewed by somebody who said, who's your top choice in Hawaii? And they looked at me and said, no, be serious. I said, I am. Think about it. And trip every year.
We fans would have had a little trouble coming up with going to Hawaii. Well, charter flights, who knows? Yeah. Well, anyhow, and they seemed to come up with, again, in the research, South Carolina's name keeps coming up, but they didn't know anything about it. And then Maryland's name came about. So I contacted the Maryland PR guy and had no memory of it, nothing. And a few days later, he found a clipping in the files from the Washington Post that indicated that they were that the it was a pre-61 season clipping, how the coach Nugent was going to be putting names on uniforms on the front. That was the Washington Post.
Not on the back, but
not in the back. On the front. Tommy Nugent was going to put them on the front. And I have to read it. It says, the article by Byron Rivers says, before a touring group of Atlantic Coast Conference sports writers visiting Maryland practice session, Coach Tom Nugent wheeled in Big End Hank Poniatowski, Roberts wrote, completely garbed in football regalia. His name was prominently displayed in 3-inch white letters above the chest.
Okay.
Nugent's innovation will have just the last names of the uniform. So it's obvious that Roberts saw him put names on the front.
Right.
Okay. Well, I needed more proof. Now, knowing in 61 that Penn State played Maryland.
That was the win for a long time.
The only win for one.
The
Dick Shiner, Gary Collins, both Pennsylvania guys, okay, for years. The 61 game is a classic. And I have that football program.
Yep.
So I went to the football program, and I went to the newspaper of that day because I had done research. There was no mention of names and uniforms in any clippings of that. So the only, and as I said, in the game day program, there wasn't anything. So I figured the only thing I could do is go to watch the game film up at the Penn State Library Archives, which I've done many times. It's a slow process, but it's enjoyable because then you like the coach watching. You got to watch it, but it's fun watching the stuff. And so I started watching, and sure enough, I saw the names, but they were on the back.
Ah.
So they switched the names and put them between the whether they opened the season, I don't know, because that game was later on in the
you have to wonder if maybe for the media part of it, having the face of the player and the name on it, but then maybe when it came time to the game, like the AFL, they put it on the back.
Yeah, it might have been
they might have done it just for the media day.
But what's interesting is there's nothing Sports Illustrated later on, I found a brief item in Sports Illustrated going on the historical files of how Maryland put names on the back of things, but there was no other mention. So it wasn't a big story. Names on the names on jerseys wasn't a big story.
All right, Lou. Okay. Stay for the next half hour. Okay, cool. Lou will be on. We'll have a little bit more. Lou's book's coming out, by the way. 100 things you need to know about Penn State before you go. We're going to talk to Lou about that next half hour. We'll take a break. Adam Bittner, final half hour as well. Action-packed show on the Kevin Herb birthday bash. If you want, we can take that last half hour, and as part of the Kevin Herb birthday bash, we can bash Kevin Herb. on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
What if you could make the perfect smartphone? Like you're a super engineer, so you create a phone that's beautifully designed with premium materials and transforms into a car. Well, except for the car thing, you're talking about the new Samsung Galaxy S6 Edge. It's been reinvented and even has these dual-edge displays that give you quick access to contacts, notifications, and more. So it looks like the Galaxy S6 Edge is pretty much the smartphone you would make if you could. But you don't have to, because we already did. For more information, visit samsung.com/GS6.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of a tech-savvy royal family. Yes, yes, ever since the palace became Wi-Fi enabled, it's become so easy to use the Name Your Price tool on progressive.com.
I do agree, my queen. Simply telling it what we want to spend and seeing all our policy options, I'll send a screenshot to Duke.
The Duke of Kent?
No, my friend Duke. We're in a group chat together. LOL.
It's easy to find insurance that fits your budget with the Name Your Price tool at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Learn how to build and conserve wealth while enjoying fine wine at a free financial workshop wine tasting event at Spyglass Ridge Winery with Wealth Professionals Incorporated. Thursday, August 13th at 6 p.m., join Kenneth A. Shadleski, Wealth Professionals President, who will help you learn to build and maintain wealth. Hurry, seating's limited to the first 50 callers, so call 570-648-6061 now. Securities offered through Stern AG Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Stern AG Asset Management.
It's the Dan Patrick Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Roy said, this will be a great place for a major in 20 years. Not now. It wasn't ready. And you get the feeling that they were ready for something else, couldn't have it at a place, and they decided to go here. I didn't know where the fairway ended, where the green began. It got to the point where it was silly, maybe bordering on embarrassing for the U.S. Open.
The Dan Patrick Show, weekday mornings at 10 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the WKOK app. Join News Radio 1070 WKOK on Twitter at WKOK 1070. It's your source for breaking local and national news. You'll get a tweet of each story on WKOK and a link to for more info from WKOK.com. And you can find out the guest list for the Dan Patrick Show and the Steve Jones Show. It's another way to keep you informed all day, every day. If you have a Twitter timeline, you need to follow News Radio 1070 WKOK on Twitter at WKOK 1070.
Hi, I'm Stu Schroeder with the Friends of Shikellamy State Park, and I would like to personally invite you to our next event at the marina. On Thursday, August 13th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m., we will have the Farley Terran Band at the Overlook. They are a powerhouse blues band that has just returned from Memphis, Tennessee. Wine tasting will be provided by the Shade Mountain Winery. Special guests will be joining them on stage. We have a full schedule of events planned this summer, so come join us. Go to friendsofshikellamystatepark.org.